The training is a lot of language training, of course, and some instruction about the type of work that you're going to do. But then also there's a lot of training about the customs and traditions of the culture of where you are living now and going to be working, of the things that you should always do and the things you should never do. For instance, when I served in Costa Rica, adults did not wear shorts outside of the home. They might wear shorts to do yard work or to clean, but they never wore them out in public. Men did not wear sandals, ever. They did not wear them. And all adults dressed very modestly, and so we were asked to do the same. We learned that even though the people in my village literally lived in the clouds high up in the mountains, that it was actually offensive to say, "You live in the clouds," because they took that as a put down of being airheaded, we might say, and not fully grounded. What we interpreted as a fine gesture might have been something quite offensive or unkind to them. And also, as part of our training, we learned about what kinds of foods we should expect to be served. And as you know, I'm a vegetarian, so luckily for me, when I was in Costa Rica, meat is not a regular part of their diet because it's expensive, and so Costa Ricans rarely eat it. So there were lots of vegetables and other kinds of non-meat items, and so I didn't really have to worry about that. And luckily for me, if I know it's not meat, I can eat it, even if I'm not particularly fond of it. And there were some vegetables that I found I wasn't particularly fond of, chayote being one, and they had a locally made soft cheese that I never really liked very much, but I always gladly accepted them and always gladly ate them. And I learned very quickly in my village, especially with our adopted family, that just like with my grandmother, if you want to make a woman happy, you will eat her food eagerly and really mean it. Both Jesus and the apostles talked about the importance of eating what is set before you. Jesus said it to the 72 disciples, you might remember, as he sent them out two by two to expand the ministry and bring new workers in because he said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few." He told them, "Don't take anything with you when you go." He told them to proclaim peace on each house as they entered it. And he told them that they were to eat and drink whatever they were given. Jesus wanted them to have good manners. He didn't want them to reflect badly on him and his ministry. He wanted them to be respectful and kind and not picky and difficult. He was teaching them to appreciate the hospitality of others. I remember having similar conversations with my children as they grew up. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, gave similar instructions, but it was a very different situation that he gave them in because he was specifically talking to Christians about eating in the home of non-Christians, of non-believers. Have good manners and eat whatever they give you without comment or question, he said, unless they tell you that particular meat had been offered as a sacrifice to a pagan god. If you have that information, then you have to say, "No, thank you." Because eating meat that you know has been offered to the gods with a non-believer could negatively affect them. They might think, "Well, she's not so committed to Jesus after all, is she? Or maybe I can follow this Jesus guy and still continue to worship my gods." Paul said, "We know that offering the meat to gods doesn't actually mean anything. It doesn't cause anything. So you can eat it all you want. But if you're with non-believers and they tell you that meat was offered, then you cannot eat it. Because what's important here," he says, "is to do everything for the glory of God. And that it's not about what you want or don't want that's important. It's about being faithful to God and leading others always toward God and never away from God." The poor nameless character in Green Eggs and Ham did not know or heed Jesus or Paul's instructions. He was not going to eat green eggs and ham, no matter what, come hell or high water, he was not going to eat them. In fact, he was such a curmudgeon. He was so negative, such a sourpuss, that if you, I don't have the book in front of me, but at the very beginning, he is sitting there reading something, and Sam I Am comes by and smiles and waves. And the first thing out of the curmudgeon's mouth is, that's Sam I Am, that's Sam I Am. I do not like that Sam I Am. Bless his heart. But don't you just love Sam I Am? He's so persistent and so positive. He's like that person in your life who always sees the glass half full when all you can see is a half glass half empty and it's going down fast. She's the one in your life who's like, oh, it's not all bad, or look on the bright side, or, well, the good news is, or it will work out in the end, and other annoying things like that. I don't know about you, but as I have read Green Eggs and Ham so very many times through the years, I always find myself pulling for Sam I Am. Throughout the entire book, he has this positive attitude and this smile on his face as he tries everything to get this curmudgeon to just give Green Eggs and Ham a taste. And even though I don't myself eat ham, I do find myself cheering along with Sam I Am, saying, try them, try them. You may just like them. The book of James is all about driving home the main point of the letter, which is theological integrity. Earlier in the letter, James has criticized those who respond to God with just partial commitment, echoing Jesus' warning against setting one's heart on earthly or worldly things. He warns us against, like we talked about last week, being like the cat in the hat, of being self-focused and self-centered. James points us always toward wholehearted, consistent, comprehensive devotion to God as doers of the word and not hearers only. Word of truth, he calls it. Doers of the word, he calls it. Implanted word. Word, or logos in Greek, means divine reason, or divine plan, or divine way. Light, life. For the Jews, it also meant the law of God, God's commandments, which were found in the Hebrew Bible, and for us, the Old Testament. And so for us today, for Christians today, that word, logos, means all of those things, and we know them and find them all wrapped up in the person of Christ Jesus. So James's goal here is not simple adherence to Torah or any law, but a kind of ingrained knowledge and habitual behavior that comes from repetition and practice, kind of like Sam I Am and his positive attitude. James instructs his readers that to truly hear the word and be doers of it in the full expression of its liberty and freedom comes only from living out the word, from being doers, from practicing it. It's the kind of life that God wills for all of us, to live forgiven, loved, and free. To experience this kind of freedom daily, though, requires us to have a particular kind of life, and it includes a bit of character work. Stay with me here, because this is a little bit confusing, but James's idea of faith without works is dead almost kept his letter from being included in the Bible. Theologians have then struggled with it forever. But he never says you must be a doer. You must have works in order to get into heaven. He does not think that you can be all in with Jesus, though, and be a couch potato. It might help to visualize this as a cycle. It does for me. As a constant movement or a flow in a circle or spiral where God offers, as James says, every generous act of giving with every perfect gift, which is where it all starts. God's generosity of forgiveness and mercy and grace and love. The doing always starts in God's love and truth and life, and then grows from there. James gives this beautiful analogy of a mirror. Presumably, the point of any of us looking into a mirror is to tell us something about ourselves. Maybe that our hair needs combing, or maybe that there's a crumb on my cheek. But who goes and checks in the mirror and sees their hair a mess and then moves away without fixing their hair, or sees a crumb on their cheek and then turns away without wiping it off? James is saying, as children of God, we should look in the mirror and see the holy. We should recognize by looking in the mirror that we were created by and out of God's perfection. And even if we don't believe it fully, these are my words, not James, even if we don't believe it fully, we try to begin to live that way, as if it were true, because what if it is? We begin to live as if our lives are full of goodness and joy, peace and love. We put a smile on our face and behave as if life truly is a gift to us, even if we're not quite sure we believe it. We begin to focus more and more on the positive. We behave as if every person we meet really is Christ. And even though all the news that we hear seems to be apocalyptic, we continue to look over and over at the blessings and the positive in our lives. Some people say, fake it until you make it. That's one way to say it. But you can decide to live like Sam I Am, with this persistent joy and happiness, this optimistic spirit that against all odds that things will turn out, that curmudgeon will eventually try and actually like the green eggs and ham. James urges us to live in ways that are congruent with being children of the Father of lights. And as the wonderful hymn that we sang this morning, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," says, there is no shadow or turning from Thee. Shallow pieties, little simple things that we may do just to say we did them. I prayed this morning. I read the scripture. I went to church. Are not enough. Doing the bare minimum does not purify our hearts. Simply praising the Lord on Sundays and then pointing out the sins of all the others is very half-hearted at best, and more likely hard-hearted, and puts us right in line with the Pharisees that Jesus warned us about. Don't be like them. We cannot, James counsels, casually insult our neighbors aloud or in our thoughts, who is also made in God's image and presumed to be faithful Christians. We cannot merely listen to the scripture read or preaching and teaching without putting it into action. If we are hearers only, we cannot receive the full benefits of the Father of lights, of living in God's light and love. I read an article this week. It said that one of the main struggles of mainline churches today is that people are not spiritually challenged. Most everybody grows old, hopefully, but aging isn't synonymous with spiritual maturity. It takes some work, y'all. It takes a little commitment. Being obedient to God isn't up to God. God is there, ready to walk with us, to work with us. It is completely and totally up to us. It's up to us to look in the mirror and remember who we saw and live that out, a beautiful, created child of God, made in love to be loved and to love others. It is up to us to make good and right decisions, and it's not always easy. It's up to us to be kind and respectful and gracious, to eat what is set before us in order to be respectful and kind to the person who made it, unless unless that can lead someone away from God. It is up to us to stand up and speak for injustice, to be people of action, to walk the walk of faith, to feed the hungry and give drink to the thirsty, and clothe the naked and visit the prisoners, and to care for the widows and protect the orphans. We are to show up and then to practice, to actually live out our faith. It is so very simple. It is so very hard. It takes a persistent spirit like Sam I am. It takes determination. It takes hope when there seems to be no reason for it. It takes a strong and courageous spirit that remembers whose face was in that mirror and is able then to see that same spirit, that same divinity in others, even curmudgeons. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. We are to enjoy life and to enjoy the things in the world, but not more than we love God, not more than we love ourselves, and not more than we love others who were also created in God's image. Can you even imagine how different the world would be if we all had the positive attitude of Sam, I am? If we were willing to go out of our way, disregarding our own schedule and comfort for the well-being of someone who isn't likable and who has already said that they don't like us? Can you imagine what kind of world this would be? Perhaps if we as Christians were to follow James' precepts and be just a little more like Sam I am, we would actually start measuring our faith by our relationships with everyone, including people who do not like us. Our primary expression of our religion would be an outreach to the needy curmudgeons, which we do with a smile on our face and love in our hearts. And not because it comes easy and not because it is fun, but because our lives are grounded in the generosity of God, who gives grace upon grace and endless mercy and everlasting love and peace. Amen.